There's nothing there, man.
It may be hard to remember, but there wasn't a very big marketplace for zombies not too long ago. They're big business nowadays, but in the 90s and early aughts, the undead were, well, dead. Though, of course, they've always lurked around the edges of pop culture, and usually had a place to call home in the world of very low-budget horror movies. The tide started to turn in 2003 when Danny Boyle's not zombies, but still pretty much zombies, epic, 28 Days Later came out during the summer and reminded people how much fun it could be to watch folks get ripped to shreds by mindless savages. Less than a year later, Universal Pictures remade George Romero's classic Dawn of the Dead for a new generation, giving the film a stylish update courtesy of an unknown director named Zack Snyder and a writer named James Gunn. Later that year, Universal would also help introduce a splendid zombie comedy called Shaun of the Dead to the world. And it was probably right around that time that most people fell in love with those hungry ghouls all over again. And it was also right around that time that a very big announcement was made. The zombie godfather himself, George A. Romero, who for all intents and purposes invented zombies as we know them, was going to embark on a new adventure in the world of the dead. 20 years after completing his zombie trilogy with Day of the Dead, the master was going to capitalize on the public's newfound thirst for the flesh eaters with a brand new tale. And we're going to take a look back and find out just what the f*** happened to George A. Romero's Land of the Dead. True to form, Romero was actually ahead of renewed enthusiasm for the zombie genre by a few years. In 2001, he'd written a script called Dead Reckoning, which was more or less a new entry in his Dead series. Trouble was, he delivered the script to his agent literally days before the tragedy of 9/11, and it turned out that studios didn't want to make downbeat movies after that particular event. Romero shelved the idea for a year and a half and found that the state of the world in the wake of 9/11, with the Bush administration and the Iraq war at the forefront of everyone's minds, would provide an interesting new subtext to his screenplay. As his zombie movies have always been about more than just zombies, he layered in his own personal feelings about post-9/11 America into the script. But would anyone want to make it? The film revolves around a walled-off city that stands in as a microcosm of how Romero saw America at the time. The wealthy live up in a skyscraper called Fiddler's Green, ignoring the real world outside of their tiny paradise. Everyone else is barely scraping by, the majority of the population homeless and desperate. Bands of scavengers venture to the outside world to loot whatever they can, all while attempting to avoid the hordes of living dead that have taken over the country. While tensions between the humans are already at an all-time high, matters are going to get worse once it becomes clear the dead are getting a little smarter, and they're certainly not content to be target practice anymore. 20th Century Fox was in negotiations with Romero for over a year to make Dead Reckoning, but they seemed more interested in acquiring the Night of the Living Dead brand than anything else. Romero would later complain that they were dead set on calling the film Night of the Living Dead in one fashion or another, which Romero was not open to. As luck would have it, Romero found a new champion in the form of Mark Canton, a former studio exec turned independent producer with a newly formed company called Atmosphere Entertainment. According to Romero, Canton read Dead Reckoning and immediately vowed to finance the film. They had a deal, and Romero found himself in pre-production about 3 weeks later, with an October 2004 start date eyed. Universal Pictures, having enjoyed the success of their Dawn of the Dead remake and on the verge of releasing Shaun of the Dead in the US, jumped on board to distribute Romero's new film, now titled Land of the Dead, only weeks before shooting began. The budget was reportedly in the $15 to $20 million range, quite a large budget for Romero, who was used to working independently. Still, the director would say that the guerrilla filmmaking aspect of many of his previous films was still prevalent on land, as they had a tight window of 42 days to film, with most of the schedule calling for night shoots. Ramiro wanted to film in his native Pittsburgh, as that's where the script was set, but the producers sought a cheaper location, looking at Winnipeg and even South Africa, but ultimately settling on Toronto, where Ramiro had made his previous film, Bruiser. Still, though the location of the city at the center of land is never directly specified, it's clearly meant to be Pittsburgh, with the skyscraper known as Fiddler's Green added digitally during post-production. A few days after Universal boarded the picture, the main cast was announced. The lead was to be played by Australian actor Simon Baker, who was an up-and-coming leading man. Dennis Hopper was cast as the Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld surrogate, Kaufman. The fact that Hopper was a real-life Republican added a bit of spice to his casting. As tough-as-nails former prostitute Slack, Ramiro cast Aja Argento, whom he'd known since she was a child thanks to the fact that her father Dario was a friend and collaborator on George's Dawn of the Dead and 1990's Two Evil Eyes. In fact, Aja was in talks to be in Ramiro's zombie musical Diamond Dead before the opportunity to do Land presented itself. Obviously, that project never made it before cameras. The role of disgruntled scavenger Cholo was given to John Leguizamo in his first horror movie. Well, I mean, if you don't count Spawn, which I do. Amusingly enough, this film actually reunited Leguizamo and Hopper more than a decade after Super Mario Brothers. Leguizamo ended up improvising much of his dialogue in the film, which Ramiro was open to. Shooting took place in October, and naturally, it was already quite cold in Toronto, so most of the nights were rather uncomfortable for all involved. Of the approximately 42 shooting days, only about 8 of them were shot indoors. In an effort to beat any potential snowfall, the production felt it necessary to shoot most of the bigger zombie scenes first, the biggest being the sequence where hero zombie Big Daddy leads an army of the undead out of the river. Shot in a wave pool in an amusement park that was closed for the season, the water was nearly freezing, with the actors playing the zombie horde sucking it up and powering through the very chilly waters. The key to bringing these zombies to life, pun intended, was Greg Nicotero, perhaps the biggest name in special makeup effects in the business. Notably, Nicotero cut his teeth in Ramiro's world, acting as a protege for the one-time King of Splatter, Tom Savini. Savini would end up cameoing in Land as his Dawn of the Dead character Blades, now a zombie, but still quite good with a machete. Incidentally, Blades is the only character to appear more than once in any of the first 4 Ramiro zombie flicks. To that point, Ramiro had always envisioned his zombies evolving from the dumbstruck ghouls they started off as in Night and Dawn. In Day of the Dead, he introduced Bub, a zombie who can be trained and who even has emotions. In Land, Ramiro upped the ante by making his ghouls able to follow direction and learn, with the main example of their growth coming in the form of Big Daddy, who leads a revolution against Kaufman and his people. Ramiro never thought it was necessary to stick to any hard rules for his zombie movies, save for this one. They cannot be fast. George hated fast zombies. Surprisingly, Land of the Dead would be the first of Ramiro's zombie movies to receive an R rating. All of the others were released unrated, but this was certainly not going to be the case with a studio picture. Still, Ramiro filled the movie with as much gore as he could get away with, though he ultimately had to trim some of it to satisfy the MPAA. In addition to having people walk in the foreground of certain gore shots, other ways to get around it would be to darken the blood via CGI so it wasn't quite as graphic. Though CGI came in handy throughout the film, Ramiro and Nicotero were determined to do as many of the effects practically as they could. 2 very special cameos can be seen early on during the zombie arena sequence. A couple of George's biggest fans, Simon Pegg and Edgar Wright. Yeah. George had received an early print of Shaun of the Dead before it was released because the boys wanted him to see it, and George loved it, eventually making it a point to recommend it to anyone who'd listen, even wearing a Shaun pin wherever he went. Simon and Edgar flew out to Canada for a couple days to shoot their cameo, which only lasts a few seconds but made an indelible impression on all involved. Universal originally gave Land of the Dead a late October 2005 release date, understandably close to Halloween. Then, abruptly, in April of that same year, the studio decided to bump the film all the way up to June 24th, the heart of the summer, where it was up against the second weekend of Christopher Nolan's Batman Begins, not to mention looking down the barrel of Steven Spielberg's War of the Worlds, which was opening the following weekend. Difficult competition to be sure, but Universal clearly liked the movie and was willing to throw it into the deep end of a competitive movie season. They had even given George a few extra million and a handful of extra shooting days towards the end of production so he could get everything he needed. Land of the Dead opened with $10.2 million, a decent take. However, it crashed down to earth the following weekend, dropping 73% in the wake of War of the Worlds. It ended its domestic run at just $20 million. And with another $26 million internationally, it gobbled up somewhere in the neighborhood of $47 million worldwide. An admirable sum for a George Romero-directed zombie movie that cost less than $20 million. The reviews for the movie were mostly favorable, with plenty of savvy critics noting its critiques of George W. Bush-era policies, which Romero admitted were a bit on the nose, but intentionally so. Romero tinkered with the idea of doing a sequel that would follow Simon Baker's Riley and the Dead Reckoning as it traversed the wasteland that the US had become, but obviously that never materialized. He did end up making two more zombie films, Diary of the Dead and Survival of the Dead. And though those movies have their supporters, they're not generally thought of as being in the same class as the director's four main zombie films. To be sure, some people don't even include Land in the same breath as the original trilogy. But even if it's not a slam dunk, it's still an ambitious, thought-provoking, studio-backed horror movie that only could have been made by the zombie godfather himself. If nothing else, the horror genre is a better one with Land of the Dead in it. Though we're certainly living in a poorer place now that George isn't around to give us a piece of his mind. Just imagine what he'd make of what's going on in the world today.
Thank you.